Accept Him with your whole heart. Use your own two hands. With one reach out to Jesus. And with the other, bring a friend. Many know Him well, others just by name. If you what He stands, you've really much to gain. With faith He can move mountains. These are common words, but true. We aren't quite a mountain, but He's moved us here to you. Accept Him with your whole heart. Use your own two hands. With one reach out to Jesus. And with the other, bring a friend. With the other, bring a friend. Welcome in music, I guess, till we get started here. How many of you folks been walking with God, say, more than 30 years? Okay, you might know a couple of these. Let's do a couple of oldies worships. How's that? You might remember. I came out of Calvary Chapel in 1970, back in Costa Mesa, when there was only one Calvary Chapel. By the way, I'm the guest today, Chuck Gerard, and I was in what was arguably the first Christian rock band in the United States to become well-known, a group called Love Song. And back when we started, a lot of the worship was a cappella, because it was real loosey-goosey back then. And, you know, guys would leave, somebody would leave town on that had Wednesday night Bible study, and someone would go into Pastor Chuck, and they'd say, "Hey, Joe's leaving on Wednesday night. Can I have the study?" Sure, take the study, you know. And then they'd be thinking about their message, but they wouldn't be thinking too much about what's going on otherwise. And they'd get there and they think, well, we have no one to play guitar or piano for worship, so we just worshiped a cappella, and it was powerful and wonderful. And a lot of it was a cappella. This is one of the songs that we did in the day. It's called Open Our Eyes, Lord. It was written by Bob Call, and it's a fantastic song that some of you might remember, and if you don't, you might enjoy just hearing it. Want to see Jesus, to reach out and touch you, and say that we love you. Open our ears, Lord. Help us to live. Jesus, to reach out and touch. Sometimes hallelujah, sometimes praise the Lord, sometimes gently singing our hearts in one accord. Let us lift our voices, look toward the sky and start to sing. Let us now return His love, just let our voices ring. Let the sound of praises fill the air. Let us sing the song of Jesus' love to people everywhere. Sing it again. Sometimes hallelujah, sometimes praise. Sometimes gently singing our hearts in one accord. Oh, let our joy be unconfined. Let us sing with freedom unrestrained. Outside these walls, and let it rain. Oh, Holy Spirit, overflow. Fill us now from head to toe. We love you, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. We want this sometimes praise the Lord, sometimes gently sing our hearts in one accord. Sometimes all sometimes praise. Sometimes gently singing our hearts in one accord. Our hearts in one accord. Our hearts in one.
The easiest chorus ever written.
Hallelujah.
To the throne room of the Father, enter in. To the presence of the King, come behind the veil and walk with me in the cool of the day. I'll walk with you. For where I am is paradise. Look into my eyes, look into my eyes. How I long for you, as you long for me. Won't you take the time to visit for a while? For your precious presence brings joy to my heart. Now, my child, come on through. Enter in to the throne room of the Father. To the presence of the King, come behind the veil and be my love in the secret place. I wait for you. Be one with me, for I'm in you, you're in me, we are. When you dwell with me, and I dwell with you, all the pain in life will surely have to flee. For between the wings of the cherubim is that place of peace, that place of rest, right here with me. So enter in to the throne room of the Father. Enter in to the presence of the King. I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted. You were condemned. I am alive and well. Your Spirit is within me. Because you died and rose again.
Let's sing that together.
I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted. You were condemned. I'm alive and well. Your Spirit is within me. Because you died and rose again. Amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, would die for me? Amazing love, I know it's true. And it's my joy to honor you in all I do. I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted. You were condemned. I'm alive and well. Your Spirit is within me because you died and rose again. Amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, would die for me? Amazing love, I know it's true, and it's my joy to honor you in all I do. For thou, O Lord, art high above. of all the earth. Thou art exalted far above all God. For Thou, O Lord, art high above all the earth.
Grateful this morning that wherever two or more are gathered in your name, that you've promised to be in our midst. But we want more than just that. We want your manifest presence. We want a sense in our spirit, the feeling of the reality of God, the touch. Of the author and the finisher of our faith. I thank you this morning, Lord, that what we have is real. It's not religious exercise. It's not pie in the sky. It's not a list of rules. It's a living relationship with the living God. We thank you this morning that what we found is is real. As the old song said, we got something more than just religion. We got Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Let's close with another oldie here. Jesus, 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 there is something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms will all pass away. There's something about that name. Jesus, 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 there is something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms will all pass away, but there's something about that name. Kings and kingdoms will all pass away, but there's something about that. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I pray for every need in this place today, that you're here to bind up the wounds of the brokenhearted, to set the captives free, to heal the sick, to touch our minds, our marriages, our children. We just lift it all up to you this morning, Lord. I ask you to do a mighty and powerful sovereign work in our lives. We just give you glory and honor this morning in Jesus' name. Amen, huh? Well, I was just getting ready to, came up to do a little preliminary, and we kind of got going there. Should I just keep going, Pastor Mike? Okay, we're going to have a little break in a couple of minutes to bring church announcements and all that. But, you know, I wanted to share with you, you know, I do a fair amount of teaching on the subject of worship, and I've studied it for many, many years. And one of the most important things I've found about worship is that, you know, well, first of all, let me illustrate it this way. How many of you are now or ever have been parents of young kids that you have to get into the van and get to church and put them into the nursery and all that? Anybody out here? There's not very many of you, but some of you can relate even if you don't have your own children. Well, aren't you glad you didn't have to put a trailer on the back of the van and put a bull or a lamb or a dove in a cage in there to take it out to the outer court and give it to the high priest so he could sacrifice it so your sins were forgiven, right? If Jesus hadn't come, we might still be under that covenant. And now we have modern times, you know. We have conveyor belts to bring the lamb in and automatic machines or whatever. But, you know, it would, think about it, you know. It could still be in effect if we still believed in that system. But we don't have to do that anymore, do we? Because Jesus came and died once for all and shed his blood so that all could be saved. Took his blood and put it up on the judgment seat, turned it into the mercy seat, and changed the way that we relate to sacrifice and forgiveness and grace for all time. So here's the deal. What is your offering today? It's the sacrifice of praise. And in the Old Testament, they had to bring their best, right? They couldn't bring the lamb that was lame or had a little sniffles or anything. It had to be the best of the flock. So you need to bring your best offering when there's worship and get totally involved and bring the best sacrifice of praise that you have. You say, well, I don't have a very good voice, Chuck. I don't like to sing very loud because I'm embarrassed about my voice. Well, God gave you your voice. And he's not embarrassed by it. He loves to hear it. He loves to hear your heart. He's not listening to this. He's listening to this. So I encourage people to just get into it, you know, not to sing louder than someone else. That's not the point of it, to draw attention to how great our singing voice is, but just to bring it out there and bring it to Jesus, the best we have to offer. And if it doesn't seem that well, that much to us, think about, you know, when you have a little kid, right? Little toddler comes up to you and he grabs your pant leg, looks up at you and he says, I love you, Daddy. The first thing you do is not to correct his English, right? Son, it's not love, it's love. Learn to say your L's. No, you pick him up. You talk his language. You say, I love you too. You give him a kiss. And if you're a grandpa like me, you get to give him a little candy on the side. Right? But we don't say, don't tell your mommy, because that teaches him to. So you just have to take the hit. Did you give him candy again? Yes. And then you're thinking, ha ha. I can do it. But it's very cool, isn't it? And you don't care that the kid can't say his L's. In fact, it's endearing, isn't it? So it's probably a little bit like that with God when you worship. So I'm just encouraging you today to give it your all when you worship. And, you know, think about the words. And this is an opportunity to really, as a corporate entity, combined as one man with one voice, to bless God. And to minister to him. What an awesome privilege it is, right? We get to minister to the creator of the universe. Well, let me take a couple of minutes here to just kind of share a little bit about my story. There's increasing numbers of people these days that don't know who I am, as many who do are dying off. And the new generation comes in. A lot of the young kids don't even know what you're talking about when you say the Jesus movement, which was a very big deal back in the 70s. When the low-hanging fruit called the hippies were prime and ready to hear the next thing. We'd been through all the Eastern philosophies. We'd been through all the Timothy Learyisms and the drug trips and all that stuff. And about 1969, I found myself on the sort of the precipice of the end of the road, thinking, where am I going to go from here? You know, the Beatles let us down. They didn't have the answers. Maharishi Mahesh Yoga didn't have the answers. The Eastern philosophy didn't have the answers. As I understand the Bible, it's got more answers than anything, but I still don't understand the Bible. Where do we go from here? And then we hear Calvary Chapel, Jesus, picking up hitchhikers along Pacific Coast Highway, where we used to pick them up so because they maybe had a lit of weed, and maybe they give you a joint or two. Now we're picking them up, and they're saying, hey, man, do you guys know Jesus? We found Jesus. And we'd say, well, we're looking for him. Where'd you find him, you know? Because we were on a spiritual quest, and we wanted to find God. We were reading the Bible. We were taking drugs and reading the Bible. So now this was perking up our ears. You found Jesus, and it was always about Calvary Chapel. So we went up to Calvary Chapel to see what was going on up there, and we got born again. And we were musicians. And all of us got born again almost within a couple of weeks of each other. We started to attend there. We were about 3 weeks old in the Lord, and they had hippie preachers there, a couple of hippie preachers back in those days. Lonnie Frisbee was one of the most famous. And Lonnie looked just kind of like the classic picture of Jesus. You know, he had the not only the long hair and the beard, but the slender build. And then we had those kind of clothing in those days, you know, real loose fitting that almost looked like robes. So Lonnie would remind one of Jesus. And we thought, well, it's cool. They have a preacher looks like Jesus. What if they had a band that looked like Crosby, Stills, and Nash? That would be us. So we went into the office on a weekday to see if we could get an audience with Pastor Chuck and see if he would, Pastor Chuck Smith, who founded Calvary Chapel and see if we could get take a meeting, as they say, and maybe get to play here. So we went up to the secretary, and we'd have to tell her we were hippies. That was self-evident. But we said, hi, we've been going here about 3 weeks, and we're 3 weeks old in the Lord, and we have some songs that we'd like to share with Pastor Chuck because we think that people would like them. So she went and got Pastor Chuck, and he took us out to the sanctuary, and he interviewed us for about 15 minutes. And, you know, how did you get saved? How did you find Calvary Chapel? And years later, he told me, he said, when I brought you guys out to the sanctuary, there's no way you guys were getting on the platform. Long hair and beards and drums and guitars, not happening. But after the interview, he asked to hear a song. And we played a song, and the Holy Spirit fell, touched his heart, touched our hearts. And the next thing we heard was, can you guys play tonight? It's youth night. It's a pretty good audition, right? And we said, is the service still at 7? Yeah. Well, our guitar player's in Orange County jail doing time on a weekend time for a drug bust, but he gets out at 6, so I think we can pick him up in time and make it. And that was the first deal. We went and picked up Fred Field. He played mandolin, violin, and guitar in our band. And he was doing time on weekends for a drug offense, and he didn't know anything about it. We went and got his violin and his instruments, and we picked him up. And we went to Calvary Chapel, and we played for the first time that night with Lonnie Frisbee speaking. And, you know, we use this phrase a lot, but it really does fit here. The rest truly was history. That night, that church broke open. It was something happened in the realm of the Spirit that opened the floodgates, and that church grew from 200 to 2,000 in about 4 months. Hippies were telling their friends, as the song says, with one hand reach out to Jesus and with the other bring a friend. That was what we were all about, was evangelism. Telling our friends what we'd found. And so it grew to the point where we had to put up a circus tent that held about 2,000 people for a few years while they built the sanctuary that's there today. The meetings in the tent were amazing. It was just a circus tent. There was no flooring. It was just the grass. So in the winter, if it was raining outside, you know, people would walk in. It was, you know, and you'd sit down on a folding chair, and it was miserable, kind of. You know, the heaters were louder than the music. But it was so powerful. Nobody cared. We were there to love Jesus. In the summer, it was the same thing, you know. Now it was hard. Clods of dirt. And the fans buzzing louder than the music. But people, again, didn't care. We were just there to love Jesus. And that's really the environment that was, which our ministry was born. The group was called Love Song. We were arguably the first Christian rock band to become well-known in the United States in 1970. We had about 2 albums out and about 3 years of actual ministry. That story in itself I'm not going to go into right now. But we were just baby Christians. And 3 years is about all we could take. We became so well known, really. See, we were the biggest group probably in the country for a couple of years. And we just felt like we can't handle this. We need to find out what it's like to just be a Christian and not have to be on the platform all the time, be a celebrity Christian. Our album came out. It was one of the top-selling albums of that time. It was the top-selling album for a season when it came out. And with no promotion, with no ads. Just people telling their friends, you have to hear the Love Song album. So one night, a Friday night in Dallas, Texas, in the Cotton Bowl at an event called Expo 72, there's probably about 140,000 people from all over the world, really, gathered for a thing called Expo 72, which was sort of a Christian version of Woodstock. Now, the Cotton Bowl holds, I'm not using evangelistic figures here, the Cotton Bowl holds 100,000 in them, but we had people packed on the field as well. It was jam-packed. And it was the first opportunity that many people in the church who had come all over to this event from all over the world, they were all suspicious of whether hippies were really saved, and I don't blame them. You know, they thought, well, if God cleaned you up on the inside, when's he going to clean you up on the outside? But we had no intention to cut our hair or beards or anything. We just thought that was what we wanted to look. We wanted to look like Jesus. Why would we cut our hair, you know? And our Sunday best was our Monday best. We didn't think about, well, let's put on some cool duds for Sunday and then I'll dress like a slob the rest of the week. We just dressed sort of like a slob all week long. Every day was Sunday for us. And that was kind of the mentality of it. So in that environment, in that stadium full of about 140,000 people, it was the first time many of them ever heard hippies minister for Jesus with rock and roll. And right after we finished playing, none other than Billy Graham got up to speak. And it was kind of, in my mind, a tipping point moment for the church in regarding contemporary Christian music, the use of drums, the use of guitars. It was the first time many of them had seen that modeled, and then modeled by hippies. So minds began to open. Maybe it's okay to have some of the current music in church. And paved the way for people like Michael W. Smith and Stephen Curtis Chapman, and the list goes on. The guys in Switchfoot were little baby Christians, and their dad was in a Jesus band at Calvary Chapel. So they were hanging around all the Jesus bands. Some of you folks know who Switchfoot is. So anyhow, it was the beginning of an example of what God could do with contemporary Christian, you know, rock and roll kind of in the church. So that's my background. And I've been doing this now for, this is the beginning of my 48th year. And just some quick statistics. I'm 74 years old. I've been married to the same woman for 47 years. It's all her fault, trust me. And I have four wonderful daughters that are mostly serving the Lord. I have one that's, we're still praying her into. She knows better, but she's not there yet. Then I have five grandkids. We live in Franklin, Tennessee, most of us. And it's a joy to be here with you this morning. And I thank Pastor Mike for inviting me this morning. And now I'm going to invite him to come up to do kind of the announcements and the, whatever the equivalent to the bulletin. And then we'll continue with the service from there. And just to give you a little blueprint, I don't really know what I'm going to do to conclude the service here. But we'll do some music. How many of you, no offense here and no harm, no foul, how many of you do know who I am? Okay, so that's very few of you. All right. But anyhow, we'll get some music in for you, and we got the worship in already. I was going to do the worship at the end, but we'll have a great time as we move toward the end of the service. And I'm going to turn it over to Pastor Mike now, who has his own mic.
No, you get hugs. You get hugs.
Oh, hugs. I'll take them. Thank you, sir.
Isn't this just the greatest? And so thank you, Chuck. Thank you so much. So it's interesting. I got saved in my first year of university, and I came out of a completely non-Christian home, and you know, these people have heard different parts, but just lost is lost, yeah. And spiraling downward, and a lot of outward success, you wouldn't know if you looked at me, but just going down, mm-hmm. And started going to a church, came to Christ, no matter, I tried hard to make them kicked me out of the church, but they kept loving me. But one of the first guys I met said, "What kind of music do you listen to?" And I told him. He said, "Well, here, try this." And so he gave me Res Band. He gave me, you know, stuff from like this 1980. Mm-hmm. And I ended up, within a couple of months, I started doing a Christian music program. Wow. On Saturday mornings through the university radio station. And it just kept me going in the right direction. And just amazing. And just neat.
Yeah.
And just, you know, God is good, isn't he?
Well, he is. And you know what? We, not specifically about our album, but that music of that time was so meaningful in the lives of the young people who really didn't have music they could identify with. I've had a lot of people that tell me, "We have nothing against Beverly Shea. We have nothing against Southern Gospel, but it's not our kind of music." And when your album came out, he gave us music we could relate to that still let us worship Jesus. So, praise God.
Yeah, amen. 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 Well, we're going to keep going. We wanted to take a break at this point so we could dismiss the kids to their class. But if you have a bulletin, we want to say welcome. Good morning. Hi. But what we do each week, we do prayer and information sheets. And we're going to do some things different this morning. So just perk up, okay? But first off, we are going to do what we always do. And that is our prayer and information sheet in the bulletin. And this is for you, just to share a prayer request, share some information with us. Our offering plates are on the sides of the auditorium. We don't take up an offering. But at the end of the service, you can put this prayer sheet, information sheet, into the plates on the side of the auditorium. But later on, we're going to take up a special love offering. We are going to pass a plate. First time in like 15 years. Like, we started our church 16 years ago, and 15 and a half years ago, we stopped passing an offering plate. But this morning at the end of the service, we're going to pass an offering plate. That goes to Chuck. And if you want to just put cash in, that's fine. If you want to write a check, make sure you put it in an envelope and write Chuck Girard on it. But we're going to take up a love offering for Chuck at the end of the service. If you want to give your regular offering to us, it goes in the sides whenever you get to it. But let's just quickly do some announcements. Bayside in prayer, we pray on Sunday mornings, and you're welcome to join us. We have our men's and women weekly Bible study on Tuesday nights at 7 o'clock. We have our men's breakfast coming up the second Saturday of May. We have today is a fifth Sunday, so right after church, not only do we have Chuck Girard, but we have lunch out on the patio, and we'll be having a barbecue. And then we have our church camping trip. Today is the last day that you can talk to Wayne, who is back there somewhere. Wayne's around somewhere. There he is. But if you want to go camping next weekend, and we have church on Sunday morning at the site in, near Livermore, just let Wayne know. We have our weekly e-news. And then if it's like, hey, I didn't come prepared to give a love offering today, well, you can give through PayPal, friends and family, or you can give by credit card. It's all in your bulletin. All that information is there. You can just send a text to that number, and you can write Chuck Girard in the comment, and you can just, you know, you just do it. And let me just say, it's good to see Robert here. Robert, have you moved back here? Not yet, but Robert and Gloria and their two boys are moving back from England. Richard and Tristan Baberstock, who have been up in Oregon, they're moving back to San Jose. David and Nina Collicutt just recently moved back to our church from down in Beverly Hills, down in Los Angeles. I'm really excited about some good things. We are this close to announcing our two latest staff hires. This close. Maybe closer. But we're excited about a number of things, but pray for the next position we're going after, and that is a new worship youth pastor. And so that's going to need a lot of prayer. But that's giving information. It's in the bulletin. We're just really glad you're here, and we're going to dismiss the children now and then send them out and head for their teachers. So pray. Do you want to pray or do you want me to pray?
You pray.
Okay, I'll pray. All right. Father in heaven, we just thank you. Thank you that you are a good and gracious God. Thank you that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Thank you that you take broken people and you give them new life. You take people with no direction and you show them the way. You take people who just want to serve you and you give them a purpose in life. And Lord, may we never forget, sitting here this morning, that if we feel like we have no reason for living, no purpose for life, that if we feel that something is missing, maybe it's because we need Jesus. We need to surrender. We need to give our lives to Him. We need to realize that Jesus wants us to take up our cross and every single day follow Him. So, Lord, help us. Help us to live for You. Help us to seek for You, knowing that You said that if we seek, we will find. If we ask, You'll answer. If we knock, You'll open the door. So, Lord, thank You for that. Thank You for our children as they go and as their teachers teach them. We just thank You, Lord, for Jesus, who loves them, who died for them. And as we continue on now, thank You for Your presence in this place. In Your Son's name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right. Chuck, back to you.
So much, Pastor Mike. All right, folks. Well, I think I'll major on music here as we go out, but I know a lot of people come, or there's some that do, to a meeting like this, and they're disappointed because there's nobody's preaching, and it's a musician and all that. First of all, I'm very honored that any pastor would surrender Sunday morning to a musician. It's a great show of faith, and I appreciate that very much. But I really want this to be a meaningful time for you. And so I'm going to share just a couple of ideas about worship that I've found. I've been studying worship since 1980. Of course, I've been worshiping for longer than that, but didn't really have much bearing on it. You know, just sort of I sit out there like you do and think, well, we're telling God how cool He is, and I feel good doing it, so that's what worship is. But there's so much more to it, and the things that I like to impress upon people is that, first of all, worship is a lifestyle. It's not just what we do on Sunday morning or Wednesday night. It's something we should do all week long. You know, there's a scripture in the Bible that says, pray without ceasing. Now, I don't mean that means we walk around reciting the Lord's Prayer all day long. You know, you're working at McDonald's and our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Will you have fries with that? You know, it's not that. It's just a constant state of communion with God. And I think we can also accomplish that kind of in concert with praying without ceasing, worshiping without ceasing. Just having a heart full of love and attentiveness toward God in everything that we do. You know, there shouldn't be a disconnect between how you feel or how you relate to God here in a service and when you go outside. And many people live that way. They're one way in church. A lot of people think church is like their duty that they have to do to maybe go to heaven. Then they can live like they want all week long. But the Christian life is really a commitment to serve God with all of our being and make God the center of our life. I like to say my earth is not my home. I can truly say that. My house is just a place I live. Some people get so attached to their homes, their houses, they think, well, if I ever lost this, I don't know what I'd do. Well, I wouldn't want to lose my home, but if I did, I know God'd have something else for me. And I could live in a cardboard box. My wife and I we've had financial difficulties, and we've often said, well, we can always go get a cardboard box and set it under a tree and live under a tree in Hawaii. Wouldn't be too bad, you know. But I'm glad that she has that attitude. She was a youth with a mission girl. And boy, I'll tell you, that missionary spirit gets burned deep down inside you, even if you just spend a summer of service. So worship is really about our life. See, what gives it the value to God of when we do. First of all, by the way, this is an extremely important opportunity to worship. It's just a part of our worship, what we do here in church, but it's our opportunity to worship corporately as one man with one voice, as the body of Christ, expressing that beautiful dynamic of the singleness of the body of Christ as we worship God in spirit and in truth. But when we take it outside, we need to walk the walk. We need to get out there and live like a Christian all through the week and make God first thing in our life. One of the things we learned as hippies, we were so committed because we had already given up the world in our mind. You know, we thought, oh, the world's plastic. You know what we used to say. It's phony. I don't want any part of that system. And I actually gave up everything I owned. I sold everything I owned. I owned a home, and I sold it for practically nothing. Back in those days, about probably 1965. And I sold my home for $10,000 in Pasadena, California. Now, it probably wasn't worth a whole lot more than that in those days, but that was still like bargain prices, believe me. And I sold everything I owned, and we all went to live in Hawaii because we wanted to follow God, and we wanted to forsake the world because we read in the Bible where Matthew, where it's, you know, it's the rich young ruler and all that business. And we thought, well, we don't care about possessions. We just want to go find God. And that's the attitude you have to have. It's not that you can't have possessions, but you can't make them first in your life. Anything that's first in your life is an idol if it's not God. So we need to put God first, and that's what produces a heart to truly worship Him, is how we live on the outside. Because you can sing better than anybody else in church on Sunday. And God, wouldn't you hate it if God said this about you? You praise me with your lips, but your heart is far from me. Whoa! That's what He said about a whole group of people. You can praise Him with our lips, but our hearts are far from me, from Him. So we have to get our heart in tune with Him throughout the week, living a life of obedience. Every year the Lord gives me a word to live by. Well, not every year, but it's happened the last 5 years or so. Last year it was separation. I didn't do too good, separating from TV and all that stuff. But I made some progress. This year it's obedience. And I'm just beginning to understand what God means, that He wants utter obedience from me. Obedience is better than sacrifice, better than doing good works, better than trying to do the right thing. Just be obedient and ask God the direction of your life. You know, the scripture says that man makes his own plans, but his steps are ordered by the Lord. So you can make all the plans you want, and God's still going to be in control. So anyhow, let's be real. Let's get out of the church building and, you know, I love these churches that have the sign on the back that says, you are now entering the mission field. Boy, if more of us had that mentality, my primary thing. Here's the primary work. I'll close with this. The primary work of a Christian is not to be better people, is not to get people healed, is not to get even people saved. Here's the ultimate umbrella of the duty of a Christian, is to destroy the works of the devil. See, everything comes under that category. You get somebody saved, you take them out of the clutches of the devil. You get somebody healed, you take them out of the clutches of that darkness, of that sickness that the devil is usually the reason they have it to begin with. So your job is, you're a devil killer, to destroy the works of the devil. And if you think of that as your ultimate job, everything else falls under that category. So I'll leave you with that, and tell you what I want to do here is I'll share a song with you. There aren't very many songs about old people, and I'm getting older now. Many of you are as well, right? So I wrote this song to honor my wife's grandmother, who was, she died about 20 years ago now. She was 95. She lived in Turlock, California. And she was old school Assembly of God, bun in the back, button up to here, no makeup, you know. But I'm so glad that my four daughters got a chance to know Grandma Sally. She just walked steady walk. She never ever judged my kids. My kids were into more of the contemporary clothes, and they wore makeup. She never said, you shouldn't wear makeup. You know, none of that kind of guilt thing. She just let them be them and walked an exemplary life before them. And I'm just so blessed that there was a woman of God like that that my daughters got to see. Maybe a little legalistic for our tastes, but still, her reasons were that she wanted to be committed to the Lord. And you probably have a grandma or a mom somewhere that's a little bit like that. So I'm going to share this song that actually doesn't yet have a name. At first it was going to be Sally Gwynn, which is her name, and then I thought, well, that's a little obscure. And I was going to make Grandma Sally. But most people call it the grandma song, so that's probably what we'll wind up calling it. But it's a tribute to moms and grandmoms everywhere. And why isn't it playing?
Test this before the service. I'm a very bad professional musician. Or a very unprofessional bad musician. It could be that too. It must be the cable.
She sits in the day room mid garlands of flowers, sits and she reads there for hours and hours. Sometimes she touches her old wedding ring. She keeps by her heart on an old piece of string. She doesn't have much to do in a day. Her children are grown, her friends gone away. Her heart is still full, though she is alone. With something inside, knows she'll soon be at home. She thinks of the man who was love of her life. Her memories are clear of when she was a wife. She thinks of the love she shared with one man. She has no regrets. The Bible that sits on the chair by the bed has never been idle. It's always been read. It's been the guide, the course of her life, living and active and sharp as a knife. Her constant companion
She's run the race. It's seen her through every trial that she's faced. Now that she's come to the crossroad of life, her treasure's in heaven above. She's never seen London or traveled to France. She wouldn't have gone there if she'd had the chance. So happy to be where she knew she belonged. She just danced in place. Many things in her life she did not understand, but she always knew she was safe in his hand. Her face sometimes wavered, but it never grew cold. He was always near. Once again she'll be a sweet blushing bride when she passes on to the other side. She'll enter the gates, she'll walk to his side, she'll see his face. She wears a white gown, she wears a gold crown. She stands by the casket and slowly looks down at the fragile old shell that once held her earthbound. Now fly away. Home.
It's always good when you don't know whether you should clap or not. You know, a measure of success in our concerts back in the day is that we like to end soft and worshipful. And in my solo concerts, sometimes what I'd do is I'd start a chorus that they all knew, and then I'd slowly walk off stage while they were still worshiping, and there was no applause at the end. It was just all about Jesus. And they'd walk out into a holy hush, and that was my idea of that's a good night. Pastor Mike, do you have any special requests while I'm here? Front seat, back seat. That's it. Way before Jesus is at the wheel, right? Way before. This is a little sort of bogus country and western. It's not really, you know, we weren't country band, so it's probably not authentic to a real country fan, but it's sort of like a Beach Boy version of a country song. But it's pretty good little hippie parable, okay? So get ready to clap your hands. This is the kind of music we did back then. Not so much this song, because we didn't do very many country-oriented songs, but simple little songs that were just fun for people, and then also the deeper lyrics with the ballads. So here we go, front seat, back seat. I was running from my master, and I tried out every new thing that I could find. But my life turned into one disaster. Without the Lord, I almost blew my mind. Come on. I was sitting in the front seat, trying really hard to be the driver, thinking I was making real good time.
but always winding up a late arriver. But now I've been trying out the back seat, and I find it is a very great relief. Now I'm riding in the back seat, and I'm leaving all the driving to the chief.
Don't you love clapping, don't you?
Not really, right?
What about Jeffrey?
I went barreling out full speed ahead. I went running every stop sign that I'd see, thinking I'd give the Lord a shortcut. Yeah, but I found out He don't need no help from me. No, no, no. I was sitting in the front seat, trying really hard to be the driver, but it sure didn't work. Thinking I was making real good time, but always winding up a late arriver. But now I've been trying out the back seat, and I find it is a very great relief. Now I'm riding in the back seat, and I'm leaving all the driving to the chief. Oh, ho, 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 ho.
Here's another one that was kind of a big song. This is about as threatening as it got, rock and roll wise. You know, we had a few a little more rocking, but kind of this stuff. It's still controversial back then.
Little country church on the edge of town. People coming every day from miles around, for meetings and for Sunday school. And it's very plain to see, it's not the way it used to be. Preacher isn't talking about religion no more, he just wants to praise the Lord. People aren't as stuffy as they were before, they just want to praise the Lord. And it's very plain to see, it's not the way it used to be. No, no, no. They're talking about revival and the need for love. That little church has come alive, working with each other for the common good, putting all the past aside. Long hair, short hair, some coats and ties, people finally coming around, looking past the hair and straight into the eyes. People finally coming around, and it's very plain to see, it's not the way it used to be.
All right. So So that was about as, we had one called the Cossack Song that was a little more boom, 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 that type of rock and roll. But that was about as heavy as it got, and it still chapped a lot of people's hides, I guess, in those days, but had to get used to it. Hey, listen, before we close, we're going to go ahead and receive my offering, as Pastor Mike told you and prepared you for. Here's what I'd like to ask you regarding my offering. I never ask people to be generous or to give a lot or do any. Here's what I ask people to do is be obedient. And that's how I take other people's offerings. I've had many opportunities to take offerings for other ministries or for other situations. And that's the key instruction to me, is to really pray about what to give. God knows my needs. I will tell you this much. This is my living. We don't have huge chunks of savings. We don't have any savings. And I'm not trying to cry on your shoulder. I'm just telling you to keep that in mind. But most important, be obedient, you know, and just do what God tells you. If they want to write checks out, they can write them to the church pastor and then put them in the envelope. Is that how it works? Is that good? Okay. That keeps it simple and clean. Just write a check out to the church. And I also will have credit card capability later on if that's how you, if you didn't bring a check or have cash. And of course, we do take cash. We take beads, jewelry, wampum. Anybody know what that is? Wampum was Indian money. Don't know what wampum is? Anyhow, let's pray over this because we're going to receive this as unto the Lord today. It's your offering unto the Lord. And as you give in obedience, He will see it as a sacrifice unto Him. And this is really as unto the Lord. So we thank you, Lord Jesus, this morning. I commit that this money will be used for the use of the kingdom of God. We thank you for this opportunity to minister to these folks and now their opportunity to minister back. So we thank you and we receive this offering in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Let's do a little bit of this. This is a good offering song. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ, His Son. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ, His Son. And now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich. Because of what the Lord has done for us. And now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich. Because of what the Lord has done for us. We give thanks. That's one of two of my favorite offering songs. The other one is, I'm not going to do it now, but Karen Lafferty's Seek. It's actually the greatest prosperity message ever in the Bible. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all things will be added unto you. Right? Copeland and those guys go off with all this word of faith stuff, and there's a lot of value to some of it, but that's just simply how it is. If you want to, you know, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate both day and night. I'm trying to do that. For he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bring forth his fruit in his season, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. That's the kind of prosperity message I like, right? Not some of these other ideas that confessing Cadillacs and all that stuff. Confession is important, don't get me wrong. It's important. Let me put it in simple terms. It's better when something bad happens to say, praise God, he's going to be my strength through this trial, than it is, woe is me. So I get that, right? And we should have faith-filled things that we say. Negative things really don't produce any fruit. You know, positive words. I'm not talking about whistling through the graveyard. I'm talking about real words of faith in times of great trial and need. Now, before we close, which I'm told from standards here, we're already over time, but I asked Pastor, you know, this is a very flexible guy, Pastor Mike. He agreed to do the offering this way this morning, which is not their usual thing. And I said, well, we might go as long as an hour and a half. Let's do it. You know, I really appreciate his flexibility and his open heart to minister. I've felt quite a connection already with him, and we'll get to see him a little bit more at the luncheon. I want to tell you about what's back at the CD table real quick. I'll start with the most expensive piece. This is $25, and it's really more for the tribe, right? People who had the vinyl. And there's probably not too many of you in here, but this is a remastered set of four of my CDs, my albums from the 70s. It's all four that I did in the 70s, remastered for the first time. That's why it's $25, but it's still the best bargain on the table because it's about $7.50 an album. These others are $10 each. These two are my worship CDs that were done in much the atmosphere as the beginning of the service where I just went in. We did these live in front of a church audience, and I would just sing my songs for an audience and connect with them, and then we'd take them back into the studio and embellish them with violins and background vocals and beautiful guitar parts. And so it's a meditative type of album. There's no up-tempo stuff on here. Each song folds into the next one, so there's no break. And many people use these albums to draw them into prayer, to draw them into praise. They're kind of a set, Evening Shadows and Voice of the Wind, sort of morning and evening, $10 each. They're out there. Then this one is Chuck Picks Chuck. Pastor Chuck Smith honored me. Pastor Chuck Smith went to be with the Lord in 2013. But before he died, he picked 16 of his favorite songs of mine and put them together on a CD, which he actually personally sequenced. I submitted a sequence, and he said, nah, I like this one better. So this is totally his feeling toward my music, and I'm the only artist that I know of that he ever did this for. So this is Chuck Smith Picks Chuck Gerard, Chuck Picks Chuck, and it's a compilation of a little bit of everything, but mostly mellow. There's only a couple of up-tempo songs on here as well. And then this one is my three of my four daughters and two of my granddaughters. One of my daughters was in a group called Zoe Girl that some of you folks might remember. And this album is a little bit like Zoe Girl meets Hillsong. I recommend it, and I guarantee you'll love it, unless you just hate good music. No, I can't guarantee anybody will love anything because musical tastes vary, but I think that you will not be disappointed, especially the ballads. If you can't get past some of the the up-tempo stuff isn't like threatening or anything. It's just, but the ballads are really amazing on this. And they wrote everything. They produced everything. They sang everything. Now, I want to be clear. Chuck Smith does not appear on this CD. He doesn't sing. He doesn't speak. He just picked my songs. And I don't appear on this one. This is just my kids. And so they're back there. I'll be back there to sign them for you and add 25 cents to their value thusly. And take your credit cards, whatever. And so let me, I was thinking about offering a request to anybody that knows my music that would have a special song that you'd want me to sing. Yes. Welcome Back. You got it. Welcome Back was the audition song that got us the gig at Calvary Chapel with Pastor Chuck Smith. This is the song we sang. So I'm going to go ahead and use the track because it's beautiful. And then maybe we'll do one more song and let you guys go. How's that? This is a song about returning to Jesus. Why the Lord used this song to touch Pastor Chuck Smith's heart, I don't know, but this is the one. Yeah. Welcome back to the things that you once believed in. Welcome back to what you knew was right from the start. All you had to do was to be what you always have wanted to be. Welcome back to the love that is in your heart. I know that you thought you could turn your back. No one could see in your But I can see that you know better now. You never were the untruthful kind. Yet I'm so happy now to welcome you back. You're missing till you leave it for a while. Well, come Father, we thank you for this opportunity this morning to just join together to worship you in spirit and truth, to hear some edifying songs and words. And I pray for each person in this church as they leave today, Lord, that they'll be mindful of the admonition to walk worthy of the calling of God throughout the week so that their worship will have value when they come together to worship you, Lord. And keep in mind, as we leave this church, we are now entering the mission field. So we thank you, Lord. I thank you. Thank you for Pastor Mike and everyone involved in putting this together. Jim Alexander for driving me down here. And pray that you'll bless everybody's day. We'll pre-bless the food. And you can re-bless it later if you want in the name of Jesus. And now we're going to enjoy the time of fellowship and picnic together. And we seal it all in the mighty name of Jesus. And all the church said, amen. Amen.